Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call right now if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss. 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and in Canada. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
You know, guys, everybody would love to have a all-out guarantee for everything that they own or possess or involved in as far as life is concerned. We want to guarantee it's going to work.
I know I would.
Why? Because so often the things that we buy, the things that we have in our homes, they just fall apart.
Yep.
And then they're expensive to fix and all of those sort of things. But we as Christians have a rock-solid guarantee. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the guarantor of every promise that's ever been given to us. He is the one that is the promise keeper. Every promise that God has made has been made a yes in Jesus. He's fulfilled every single one of them. So we are blessed with precious and great promises in Christ Jesus, none greater than probably Romans 8:28. And it says this, and we know that those who love God, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So that is an incredible promise. I mean, we go through life circumstances, and some of them are horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them just take the life right out of you, seemingly. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? And this is one of those promises that we cling to. We know that God's not asleep. God is actively working on our behalf. He's for us. He's not against us. And he has promised to work things together for our good. So we can count on that. And that gives us a great sense of relief. That gives us a great sense of hope in any given situation. But there's a reason why things are going to be worked out together for good, and that's verse 29. And we seldom couple these two verses together, and I think it's important for us to do so.
Yeah.
As children of God, we have this fantastic promise that God is going to cause all things to work together for good. And then he gives the means of that in the next verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, that's us, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So what is God doing? What is God at work at as far as you and I are concerned? Well, he's predestined a destiny for us. And that destiny is that we're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So in any given circumstance, whether it's good or bad, God is at work to conform us to the image of his son. So when we come out of a bad situation, what are we going to see? That God has chiseled and molded and worked. And when we come out of it, we are moving toward this goal, not because of the things that we've done, but because of what God has done in our lives to conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. And we have to step back and say, wow, that's how God has worked this out together for my good. I was hoping the circumstance would change. I was hoping that my financial position would be reversed in a positive way. I was hoping that this or that might happen. But underneath maybe all of those things that could or could not have taken place is this reality that God's done something to us on the inside. Yeah. He is changing us on the inside, and every day we're going from glory to glory, from grace to grace, faith upon faith, being conformed to the very image of Christ Jesus. And that is powerful. Now, God has committed himself to that reality. He has committed himself to that result. We are going to be conformed to the image of his son. And there is a great promise in 1 John. Now, we don't know what we are. We know we're children of God. Mm-hmm. We don't know what all that's going to look like. But when he comes back, it's going to be revealed to us what it really means to be a child of God. Why? Because at that point, we are going to be fully conformed to the image of our Savior.
Yeah.
So if you're going through a rough patch right now, if you're going through something that is very difficult, your emotions are frayed, you're just on the edge of crying or on the edge of anxiety or the edge of despair, take this verse to heart.
Yeah.
If you're a believer, God is going to work this circumstance together for your good. And how he's going to do it is through this circumstance, he is going to be continuing that process of conforming you to the image of his Son. So receive what God is doing.
Yeah.
Go along what God is up to in this particular situation. It will ease your restlessness. It will give you a sense of hope. And when you come out on the other side, you will be rejoicing and praising God for the work that he has done in and through you.
That is Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you on this edition, everybody. If you have something you'd like to pose, a question, if you'd like to pose a particular topic of interest, why, we would love to hear from you and discuss it with you right now. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. Call now, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, as you and Richard well know, we have some very faithful listener friends who give to support this ministry every month. And for those of you who fit that category, well, we're very deeply grateful for that, because without you, we wouldn't be here. But Bob, what would you say to new listeners to encourage them to come alongside of us and get this message out as far as possible?
Well, this month we're talking about identity, and it's one of the most important subjects that we can discuss. And there are so many listeners out there that are trying to find an answer to that question, who am I? Well, there's no answer that's going to put them on solid ground other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us a rock-solid answer, one that is unshakable, unmovable, that will anchor you through thick and thin. And that's the identity of a new creation, a child of the living God. So if you want to help answer that most significant question in people's lives, supporting Basic Gospel is one way that you can do that. And it's a very important way, a very critical way. In this crazy, chaotic world that we live in, there are millions of messages that are flying around. And many of those messages are an attempt to answer that question. Give people identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And folks are latching on to all sorts of things. Religious labels, professional labels, spiritual labels, but they're missing out on their real identity, a real identity that they could gain through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're asking you to give of your resources each and every month to partner with Basic Gospel, or to give a one-time gift to help give somebody a new identity.
Yeah.
Out there in the world, somebody who is desperately seeking an answer to that all-important question, who am I? Well, they're never going to find peace or contentment in life until they find that answer in Jesus Christ. Help us give them that answer, the answer that will give them eternal life and a identity that will be with them forever.
Friends, as always, you can join us by going to basicgospel.net. Click the prominent link right there, the donate link. In Canada, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada. You can make a donation by phone at 844-322-2742. With the Basic Gospel app, you can make a donation, or with PayPal. And when you do, in this month of August, as Bob was centering in on, focusing on, we're going to send you a copy of an excellent series called The Real You. It's all about your identity, the right to be or become a child of God. And we'll send it to you as our way of saying thank you for your support during the month of August here at Basic Gospel. Well, once again, I want to give that number, 844-322-2742. If it's still the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, we're live, and we'd like for you to be on the broadcast with us. If you have a question, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Now, over the weekend, we got this call from a new listener in Tennessee. Let's listen.
Hi, guys. This is Vern from Tennessee concerning the eternal security of the believer, and I heard several days ago your broadcast. A local pastor up here is teaching the belief that you can walk away from God. It's your choice, and this is your free will that he respects, and that you can lose your salvation by doing this. I completely disagree, and I believe that God is in you. Jesus Christ lives in your heart, and like Andrew Farley says, if you walk away from him, he's in your walker. there's really no getting away. But the argument that this particular pastor has does have a logical argument. It does make sense to a person. But I thought I'd call and share that facet of this incorrect teaching, so maybe it could be talked about on the air. Thank you, sir.
Well, we appreciate hearing from Vern.
Yes, we do. And that's an all-important question. Can we walk away from our faith in Jesus Christ once we've exercised that faith in Jesus Christ? Well, if it was just based on decision, a free will decision that I've received Jesus and I'm going to walk down that path for a little ways, and then something else comes along that is more valuable to me, and I choose to walk away from Jesus into this, then you would say, yeah, we could walk away. But salvation isn't just about a decision. There is a human decision that's in that. But through that decision, all sorts of things happen to you and me. So when we receive the gospel, when we receive Jesus Christ, there's not just a transaction written in a ledger. There's something that occurs deep within inside of us, and that's new life. So we go from death to life, and then Jesus comes to live inside of us with the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So if Jesus said he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, then that's true. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. Now, in our minds, we may think, we may start to have doubts at a point in our Christian experience, and we may say, I just don't think this is working for me. It's just, you know, I'm not finding the peace that I'm looking for. Maybe there's an answer somewhere else. Well, you may start exploring that, but Jesus Christ is going to start renewing your mind with truth. He's in you, and you're going to come back to that point and say, Jesus, thank you that you were there with me all along, and thank you that you've renewed my mind, and thank you that you've shown me what this salvation really is all about. I know for me in my early years as a Christian, I didn't know how to live the Christian life, so I tried to do it through human effort. So I was frustrated, and I wondered, did my faith really take root? Did I really believe? And so I prayed to receive Christ time and time and time again. And finally, I had to come to the point and say, Lord, you're enough. You're sufficient. When I received you during the summer after my sixth grade year, you came to live inside of me. And so from this day forward, I'm going to thank you that you're alive living in me. And from that day forward, I've never doubted. So I had 8 years of doubt, a whole lot of doubt, whole lot of wondering. But Christ was alive living in me, so I couldn't escape that. I could never reject Jesus or the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because God had done something to my heart. God had fully made me alive in Christ Jesus. So that's what we have to realize, that salvation is much more than getting our name written in a ledger by God and then could be erased by God when we choose otherwise. That's not salvation. Salvation is Christ Jesus coming to live in us. It's so important, isn't it?
Oh, it's vitally important. This is life and death stuff. And when you realize that you were born in Adam and you couldn't say one day, oh, well, I'm not going to be in Adam anymore. I'm just going to be in Christ. That's a nonsense statement. Now, you can make a choice. Jesus, I need you. I want to be yours. I want you to take me. There's the decision for Christ. And he takes us out of Adam. We didn't leave Adam. He takes us out of Adam, puts us in himself. And like you said, where's he going to go? He can't go anywhere. If he could leave us or forsake us, then everything here is a lie. If I could crawl out of his hands, I mean, John 10, one of my favorite passages, no one can snatch them out of my hands. Well, I'm included in that no one.
Yeah.
I cannot snatch myself out of Jesus's hands. And that word snatch is a violent word. It has to do with taking by force, stealing something that didn't belong to me. And Jesus isn't going to let that happen. Satan's going to try it. And what we've got to be aware of are for people like Bob and I, and maybe you too, Bob, so frustrated with the Christian life that I almost threw it over. What I was throwing over was a bankrupt belief system. I wasn't throwing over Jesus.
It was the do not taste, do not handle,
yes,
do not touch, all of those religious practices, those dead works. That's mm-hmm. what I had gotten involved in.
Yeah.
And I was rejecting that, but saying yes to Jesus. Now, John really addressed this question in his first letter, and there were many that were in the assembly that were, espousing a heretical belief system.
Yeah.
And they denied that Jesus had come in the flesh, and eventually they left. They left the real fellowship, and here's what John said. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us.
Yes.
So the seed of Christ remains in us, and it's going to keep moving us down that path of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
And that is good news. That's the place you want to be, in Jesus Christ, having received his life. 844-322-2742. We still have time on the clock. If it's about shortly after 3:15 Central Time, we're still live, and we would love to hear from you if you can call right now. 844-322-2742. We want to invite you also, friends, inside the studio to view the live broadcast every day on Basic Gospel through either our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. You'll find direct links on our homepage at basicgospel.net right under the Israel banner. So if you click either of those links about a minute before 3 p.m. Central Time, you'll be able to hear and see the live broadcast. So again, those live links are near the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net, right under the banner about our upcoming visit to the Holy Land. And of course, we hope you'll get information on that as well. Well, guys, we had a question from Bill, who lives in Champaign, Illinois. He listens on Sirius XM Family Talk 131. That's the particular channel. He says, in the New Testament, Peter adjures believers to repent and have their sins washed away by baptism. I thought our sins were washed away at the moment we became believers in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I thought that we were saved and are saved by grace through faith. Which is it? Please help me. That's from Bill in Champaign, Illinois.
Well, that passage is that he's referring to is obviously Acts 2:38. So he's there with at Pentecost. He's in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit had been given. And he's telling the story of Jesus. He's explaining what had happened. And at the end of it, they're asking, so what do we need to do? And so he says, repent for the remission of sins, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's what he told them to do on that particular day. Mm-hmm. And that's all we have to realize. I don't think we need to add anything into it. We see later on in Scripture the explanation, for example, in Acts chapter 15, where Peter stands up at the Jerusalem Council and he says, these Gentiles, they were saved in exactly the same way, by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see that it really comes down to simply a matter of belief and receiving Jesus Christ himself. Paul later kind of distilled it down. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We also see in the book of Acts, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's lots of different passages that we can look to, and when we pull them all together, we realize that it's simply receiving Jesus. That's what it gets down to, and that's by grace through faith in Jesus. So water baptism is not a part of that. Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians when he said, you know, I've only baptized Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanus,
yeah.
But God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, if baptism had been a part of the gospel, if baptism, water baptism, had been part of the salvation experience, what needed to be done in order to be saved, then Paul would have included it in there, but he didn't. So it's this gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's the story. That's the message that saves. And when we believe that, we receive the author of that story, or the main character of that story, Jesus Christ himself. So water baptism is a wonderful privilege for us as believers. Yeah. We can celebrate what Christ has done, the spiritual baptism that we've gone through faith in Christ. We can celebrate that through a water baptism. And everyone within the assembly that watches it gets to rejoice together with us.
Yeah.
And boy, that's a party. That's exciting.
It is.
And it does something to all of us to witness that. So I'm not diminishing an importance on water baptism. I'm simply saying it's not a part of the gospel story. It's not essential for salvation. Only by grace, through faith, in Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to hear from Bill. Go ahead, Richard.
We humans have an infinite weakness for recipes. We want a two-step or a three-step or a four-step plan. And every time we find a verse that seems to have something like that, we put it on a plaque, and that becomes a law. And don't do that. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Let him change you from the inside out and celebrate by being baptized.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, we had a question from Angela. She says, where our family goes to church, our pastor constantly has people doubting their salvation. He'll make statements like, would you trade your salvation with the person sitting next to you? By looking at your fruit, I wouldn't trade mine for yours. He tries to be a funny guy, but when you go through all the stuff in life that we do sometimes, you second guess if I got it right. I guess what I'm trying to say is my pastor is constantly reinforcing every bad and ugly thing that you see in yourself. Is this biblical? Is that what a pastor is supposed to do?
I don't think so. We're not called to be fruit inspectors at all.
No.
I mean, all of us have stories. We all have secrets. We all have things that we've done. We all have things that we'll do. And we have to step back and say, but God saved us in spite of those things.
Yeah.
And Jesus lives in us in spite of those things. And we're growing in grace in spite of those things. Why? Because really the story is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
We want to hold ourselves up and say, man, I've got this Christian life all together. Become like me. You know, just follow my example and do what I do. And like you said, we're suckers for a recipe. And so if I can just find out why somebody else is successful or why they look like they have it all together, then I want to copy that. And maybe then I will have it all together. We have to realize that, if it weren't for the grace of God, we would all be doomed.
Yeah.
I mean, on any given day. And if anything good comes out of us, it's because Christ Jesus has brought that about. So we have to just give each other some grace.
Yeah.
We have to give each other some slack and realize that Christ is the one that we anchor our hope to. Christ is the one that we look to. Christ is the one that we depend upon. And so any pastor worth his salt, any fellow believer that's worth his salt or her salt is going to be engaged in encouraging one another to grow in grace in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where victory is found. That's where contentment is found. We're all in this journey together. We need each other to keep moving us forward as we grow in his love, grace, and mercy.
We love hearing from you, our listeners, and I'll tell you how you can do that in just a moment. But friends, the importance of the issue of the believer's identity in Christ is difficult to overstate. To say thanks for your gift of support to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of our series, The Real You, that reveals the truth about your true identity as a child of God. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742 or with the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. Anyway, it's a great way to join us and support this message of God's love and grace in the New Covenant. Don't miss the opportunity to discover the real you. Remember also, if you have a question, call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. As I said, we love hearing from you, our listeners. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Overnight, if you have a chance, go to the website, basicgospel.net. Click the banner at the top of the homepage and get the information on our upcoming trip to the Holy Land. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.